All right, tonight, if you have a Bible, I'm going to read from James 9, James 1, 9 through 18. James 1, 9 through 18. This is the passage we're going to look at this Sunday in the evening service. And I'm only going to touch on one aspect of one verse in our time tonight. Those of you on Zoom, are you able to hear us okay? Is the connection working for you all? Okay, I see. Good.
Thumbs up.
Okay. If something breaks down in the middle, please just let us know. Send a message or feel free to pitch in. Okay, James 1, 9 through 18. I'll just point out two things for the context. One is this is written to believers who are scattered, they're exiles, they're not at home. And we can relate to that as believers who are strangers and aliens in this world. Our citizenship is somewhere else, even though we're living here. The second thing is the context also involves not only exiles, but exiles who are suffering. Things are hard, things aren't quite right. There's a longing for things to be repaired or changed. So, James 1, starting in verse 9. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with the burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So tonight what I want to look at is one aspect of verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So with this context that we're looking at, believers who are exiled, the believers who are scattered, the believers who are suffering. Let me just make two observations from this verse tonight. First of all good comes from God.
Yeah.
And then secondly, God's good arrives in the fullness of time. His good, when it comes in the fullness of time. So, Let's look a little bit more at this first observation. All good comes from God. What James is talking about here is comprehensive. It's universal in what he's claiming. First of all, what he's saying here is true for both believers and unbelievers. And it's also true with respect to general common grace good, what we call providence, as well as special grace. Things that are pertaining to salvation, redemption. This verse is talking about all of that. It's true for believers and unbelievers. It's talking about the general good that every human, every creature now receives, as well as narrowly the good that his elect only receive. Speaking about the good that all people everywhere receive, Acts 17, verses 26 through 28, Paul there is speaking to unbelievers, idolaters, but he's reminding them that you know something of the good that the real God gives you, even though you don't know him. But he says there, and he, speaking of God, he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. So he's saying he made you and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him, find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him, and here's more good that they receive, in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we also are his offspring. So he's telling unbelievers some good that they received from God. And this is true today too. God made them, and in God they live, they move, they have their being. It's the same kind of thing that's taught in Colossians when it says Christ is the one in whom all things consist. The one that Christ is holding every molecule, every unbeliever and every believer together. There's an active upholding of everything living that God and Christ are doing. Specifically though, it's not just your existence, not just your creation. Job 38:41, this is a very common refrain in scripture. He says, who provides food for the raven when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? Who provides food for just the animals? God is providing food for animals and for all people. There is the thought of having many mouths to feed can be overwhelming. I have a baby. I have 3 kids. I have 5 kids. I have 11 kids. I have an orphanage. The thought of providing food for all of them at times, it's overwhelming. How am I going to find the means to shelter and to provide clothing and food for all these mouths? God is feeding all the mouths of the earth. So if this is the good that comes from God is true for all people, it's true not only for your daily bread, it's also true for just if you have good systems of life, good systems of society. They may not be perfect, they might be flawed, but if you have a government that's somewhat functional, or if you have a good government at some place or some time, that comes from God. Do you remember Romans 13:1-4? There's no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. He is God's minister to you for good. So if you have good society, good government, even if it's not perfect, it's better than anarchy and overthrow and assassinations. That's from God. And that ruler is there for your good, it says, from God. God's minister to you for good. So it covers things that are small, that are daily, that have to do with our bodies, but also having to do with society and government. Now, the claim is that every good thing comes from God. And at this point you might be thinking, well, there are some good things that they can't be from God. Like, I remember some of my past when I was in rebellion to God, and there were things I pursued that I enjoyed. They were good, whether we're talking about substance or relationships that just were not founded on good, and they were founded on crime or evil or exploiting. What about those things? Are they aren't from God. Weren't they some good enjoyment, some pleasures? Were they from God? Well, we know this. Satan, their sinful desires, they promised enjoyment. They promised good. They only delivered regret. They only delivered, I wish I hadn't done it. It felt good, but it wasn't good. This is from the very beginning, when humanity went wrong. Genesis 3:4-5. Here's the promise of good that was offered to our first parents. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. The Satan temptation and suggestion is this thing that God is withholding, this thing that's not from God, it's good. You're not going to die. You will be better off. You will know more, and you will actually handle good and evil better. It was a lie. It was like, there is never any ounce of thought or expression from Adam or Eve thinking, it was worth it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And nobody thinks it was worth it a little bit. Romans 6:21 sums it up. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? Mm-hmm. All those things that seemed good, fleeting pleasures, it's called in other places, you're just ashamed of it. There was no good in it. The end of those things is death. The end of those things is death. A gun to the head, whether it's a slow bullet or a fast bullet, it's just not good. It's just not good. There's no good in it. Now, let's start tying together this sense of all good comes from God, and it's from the God of lights, the God of lights. Psalm 84 talks about the God of the sun and the stars, these lights, being the one who gives good. Psalm 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who love him. The God who is our light, who is our sun, there's no good thing he's going to hold back from me. The devil said he's withholding good. The God is our sun and our light. Will not withhold anything that's good for you. If we believe that, it's staggering. Everything that seems to go wrong in your day, you can meet it with, it's not going to withhold good from you. And so faith will then activate and say, there must be something better that he's not withholding. He's going to bring, he's going to give. He wouldn't. A car broke down. $2,000 transmission bill. Why, Lord? He's not going to withhold something good from me. Disappointment with a friend who has let you down. If God is not withholding something good, we reinterpret that. It takes faith, but the promise is sure and very clear. And so let's flip this promise around the other way. We said all good comes from God. Here's another way to word that. Any good thing that you ever experienced in your past, go back over the years, over the decades, any good thing that you ever experienced in this life came from God. I'm not just talking about salvation. Any good thing. It could be loving people that God placed at a key point in your life. Maybe just some teacher that encouraged you. Or some older kid in the neighborhood that stuck up for you when other kids were making fun of you. Or significant people who kind of guided and shepherded you and helped you get an opportunity. Or denials that happened that profited you later on. And you can see that now. Even just happy times. A few minutes of a good family past, maybe a family vacation, or one of the family holidays that were actually sweet for mom. All of those things, if you ever had any good moment, it came from God. If you ever enjoyed any creational good in this life, whether it was holy sex, whether it was excellent food, whether it was clothing and sandals, those are all themes from Genesis that God created, said. So if you've ever tasted that in this fallen world, that came from God. Now, we've said all good comes from God. Secondly, God's good arrives in the fullness of time. And the context for James is we have great pain. We have disappointment in our lives. We have trials. We have troubles. And so it's a stumbling block for us that God delays to bring the good. But we're wondering, where is the good? Who will show us good in this day? God, where are you? But you have Job, who is suffering. And he rightly gives us prayers to pray to our God. He says, even today, my complaint is bitter. My hand is listless because of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might find God. that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. This, when you're suffering, this is an appropriate way to approach God. There's something you tell him that isn't quite right. I need you to appear now, Lord. Where is your goodness today? So we know that God's good comes in the fullness of time. I'm going to give you just two examples of this that are in Scripture. One of them is in Isaiah 60, so it's his people. They're in trouble because of their sin. They've been exiled, just like the exiles in James. Israel, God's people, us to some extent, we're in exile. Psalm 60 is one of these things where you wonder, was James, who was very well versed in the Old Testament, was he thinking of Isaiah 60 when he wrote these verses? Because in this chapter of Isaiah 60, you've got exile linked with the Father of Lights, linked with the delay, and then linked with God's goodness. We're not going to do a study on this, but it's in there. If you look at Isaiah 60, verses 4 through 20, he traces down these people's problems who are in exile. He goes through the different facets of it. You're hated by other people. You know what that's like. Or you feel ashamed. Other people are scorning you and telling them you've done wrong. And now you're just dirt. We kind of have a feel for that. And he talks about how they're lacking. There isn't blessing in life. They're lacking riches. They're suffering. They're being harmed. There's violence done against them. It's summed up this way. Where you bring exile, the Father of Lights, his delay, but his sureness of his goodness that will come to them. Verse 19, the sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you. The Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God, your glory. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light and the days. So you go from that, where the Lord, the light, to a people in exile will be goodness, bring goodness to them. You zoom forward to the New Testament. There's a partial fulfillment that we know now. What is one of the things that we know about Jesus Christ? He's the light of the world. And goodness, fullness of goodness comes in Jesus Christ, who's come to us now, and he's coming again. Mm-hmm. But it's the same sort of thing.
Amen.
Jesus was told that he was going to come, but it was the first prophets. If we're going to talk about the prophets, maybe you could say Moses was the first prophet. He's considered the greatest prophet. How many years was it from Moses to Jesus Christ? 2,000 years. There was a delay in the goodness that would come in Christ our light. Let's say David was the prophet that we're talking about. David was certainly a prophet. Much of the Psalms prophesied Jesus Christ would come. 1,000 years from David to David's greater son. How about the great formal prophets, you know, Isaiah and all those prophets? 700 years, 500 years. Then, so there's delay. We're used to that. But it did come. This waiting that we had to do, Galatians, 4:3-5, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. 1 Peter 1:10, these things were revealed, the salvation the prophets inquired. They were searching after what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. To them it was revealed, that not to themselves, but to us. That then the gospel. It was a long delay. But finally, in the fullness of time, his goodness did come. Now, we live in a time where we can say, Jesus Christ has come. He came, died for our sins. He was raised up from the dead, and he was seen by hundreds of people. Jesus Christ has come. It took a long, long time. Jesus Christ has come. Jesus Christ is coming again in the fullness of time. So you can bank on that. You can hold on to that and expect that God's good in your situation where you're wanting the goodness to enter in, God's good to your situation will arrive in the fullness of time. Amen.
Amen.